If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO! The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Ah. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning. We made it! Opening day for the New York Mets. We've made it, Met fans. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. He's anxiously waiting for about 13 hours from now. But we got to talk a little Yankees first. I'm so sorry. In this town of big brother, little brother, we got to lead with one of the brothers. And we're going to lead with the New York Yankees against the Arizona Diamondbacks last night as the offense, reawoken from its slumber, puts up 9 runs and takes care of the Diamondbacks 9-7 last night in the Bronx. And obviously the game starts. And look, there's a couple of different talking points from this game, right? And I know I spent a lot of the end of the show yesterday talking about Aaron Judge and that stupid list. And I actually saw Buster Olney put out a bunch of reactions from the rest of Major League Baseball. And a handful of players. Tommy Pham, off the top of my head, you know, played for the Mets. Tommy Pham, one of the people who was just beside himself. That they could put anybody besides Aaron Judge as the best player in baseball. Because there is no doubt, as he has an unbelievable game, a triple short of the cycle, he's hit his 5th home run of the season already. He hits a 3-run home run in the beginning part, in the first inning, and it's 3-0 before the game even starts for the New York Yankees. This guy, and people, oh, clutch this, that. I'm arguing with a guy who's a very good baseball guy, hits me up on Twitter a bunch. Oh, this guy's better, pure, blah, blah, blah. Like, we had this ridiculous conversation around Aaron Judge. And I know the, and I said this yesterday, and right, we have the postseason conversation that anybody wants to say until October. And that's something he's going to have to eventually put away and end that argument. But the fact of the matter is for 162 games every damn season, we are watching. We have the pleasure of watching. And I know Boone spent a lot of time on it in the postgame. Like, you have to pinch yourself. You have to remind yourself. He said that there's even some times where, you know, he hits the double late in the game and he's like, that pitch was kind of right down the middle. I'm surprised he didn't hit it out. Like, we're at that point where we take for granted. And I know he hasn't won a championship. And I know he hasn't performed. And I fight this battle because he has performed in the postseason at times. But not enough, and certainly the last 2 postseasons, he's been atrocious. And there's no getting around that, but the fact of the matter is, baseball's about the 162, and what we are watching is one of the greatest hitters who ever lived. Like, that's where we are. That's how good this guy is. That's how he's doing at a time where it's harder to hit than ever in baseball history. And what he's doing right now and what he's done for the last 3 years and the hitter and the dynamo he has turned himself into is otherworldly. And the guy gets the game started with a 3-run home run. He's an absolute beast throughout the game. This Yankee lineup obviously has now hit 22 home runs in its first six games, the most ever through the first six games in Major League Baseball history. Right? You've got now four from Jazz. You've got four from Volpe. Jazz hits one in this game as well. He's doing a great job being the cleanup hitter and being protection for Aaron Judge, although I've talked about this before too. There is no good enough protection. Like, we could continue to say that ultimately in big spots, despite the fact that in this game, with a runner at second, two outs, and first base open, they continue to pitch to Aaron Judge. I know we get into these conversations about Aaron Boone. Nobody pays attention to the other manager, and we'll have a conversation about Aaron Boone and how he handled the relievers in this game. But Arizona continues to leave Kelly out there to get pounded. They're pitching to Judge with first base open. Like, we never talk about how the other manager handles the game. We only talk about how Aaron Boone or Carlos Mendoza handled the game. I don't know. If I was watching that game, I thought Aaron Boone was the better of the managers as they're pitching to Judge with first base open and leaving the starter in to get his teeth kicked in. And that's exactly what happened, because this offense, and you look at it a bunch of different ways. Again, before the game, the punt lineup. Aaron Boone putting that punt lineup out there six games in. It's embarrassing. No Wells, no Goldschmidt. Never mind the fact that Wells is a catcher and they don't play 162. And he's played the first five games and they got a quick turnaround. And they have a 4 o'clock game tomorrow or later today now in Pittsburgh. And he's either going to play this game or that game. They chose to give him that game and give the young catcher Ascara an ability to get his first major league hit and play in this game in the Bronx. And obviously this offense, just top to bottom, what Judge is capable of, what Jazz is now capable of. Dominguez with a couple of hits. You see the speed. You see the ability to round the bases first to third. A couple of stolen bases. Judge gets into the game stealing a base. Dominguez gets in. Jazz steals a base. Grisham, the fourth outfielder, he gets a double and a home run and three RBIs. Like, up and down this lineup, the New York Yankee lineup, will it be as potent as it was with Juan Soto? I don't know. Will it lead the American League in runs scored? As of right now, it feels that way, but we don't know. But what I can tell you is, top to bottom, this lineup feels deeper. It just does. And I know the last two nights were cold and they were kind of shut down. They did score five runs in the first game of the series that the bullpen blew. They did score five runs. It's not like they were completely shut down. Last night or two nights ago now against Zach Gallen, completely shut down, had miserable at-bats, 16 strikeouts, the whole bit. No doubt about it. And there are going to be nights like that, especially when you're relying on youth. But the youth, the athleticism, the power this lineup is showing, I know it's six games in, but it's undeniable. And along with the punt lineup, one of the other things that jumps out at you is Rice as your leadoff hitter. And I know there are so many people out there who want to say, oh, you need speed at the top. They don't have a leadoff hitter. They don't have this. They don't have that. They're doing it with Gold, a 37-year-old first baseman, or their catcher, or now the DH, you know, and first baseman in this game. A young kid who really doesn't have a defensive position, a young kid who doesn't move all that well, but a young kid who has clearly bulked up. You watch him on TV. I watched him tonight. I was live from the press box. You watch. He feels like a completely different player. There are times, we've seen this, from young kids, from one season to the next, players one season to the next, people are going to get mad, and I shouldn't even bring this up, but we used to see it a lot more in the 90s. But there are times where you could just tell the maturation process, the different player Ben Rice is now, today, that he was at times last year. Even when he had good games, he did have a three-homer game, but like, the difference of just the feeling you have with him in the box right now is completely different than what he did last year. And he brings another element. And again, Aaron Boone with these, you know, we'll get into some of the decisions he makes in the bullpen and the, you know, crazy overreaction. But you can't deny what he's done with this lineup. Like, I know it's just the oh, well, because hitters are supposed to hit. Anybody who doesn't like Boone would have never put Ben Rice leadoff. They never would have put Goldschmidt leadoff. They wouldn't hit catchers leadoff. And yet every single guy they put in this spot has thrived. Rice in front of Bellinger and Judge. Double, two walks. And a stolen base. Like, they have just been getting it up and down the lineup. Whoever they put leadoff has been successful. They're getting fastballs because Bellinger and Judge are behind him. Judge is right now an absolute dynamo, and it's scary to think what kind of season he can have with already six games in, having five home runs, all the RBIs, hitting over 400. Like, Judge right now is scary. And I understand that we're going to have this conversation about how good is he if he can't hit in the biggest moments and how he can be pitched to against the top levels of pitching. We saw him strike out last night against Gallen and all that stuff. But over the course of a season, this guy carries the team. And right now, everybody else is doing their part, so it doesn't necessarily feel that way. But you ask all those hitters, you ask Jazz in the postgame, what's the offense? What's his response? What do you have to say about it, this offensive explosion? Judge. It's Judge first, last, in the middle. Judge is the heartbeat of this team, and Judge is an absolute dynamo right now, and he's having an incredible year. And then you get to the pitching with Carrasco. And I talked about this, too, because you just get to the pitching in general. And I know people are upset Yarbrough is in this game with a six-run lead, but the Yankees obviously come out to a big lead. Carrasco in the first inning was good. Then I was a little annoyed with the walks after big innings. Like, they score the four runs in the first, and he comes out and walks the leadoff man in the second. They score three runs in the fourth. He walks they score two in the third. He walks the leadoff guy in the fourth. But you look at this team right now, right? Obviously, they're missing Cole, and we'll miss him all year. You're still waiting for Luis Gil. Who knows when that's going to be? I'll sign for July right now. Maybe June. In the bullpen, you had, obviously, no Devin Williams, who's going to be back tomorrow from paternity leave. You've also got Hamilton not there, who should be hopefully within a week or so. But no Hamilton. You're still waiting on Loaisiga. You're still waiting on Cousins. You're still waiting on Efros. Like, there's a lot of arms in this bullpen that aren't there right now, and they were without their closer for these last three games. And they're forced to throw Carrasco. And I talked about this when we lost Luis Gil, and everyone was all nervous about the state of this rotation. And I said, look, it's like 12 to 15 starts of Luis Gil that you're going to miss, right? Let's say it's about half a season. That's about half a season for Luis Gil. These starts where you're getting it from, namely right now, Cookie Carrasco, who's that next guy, or Will Warren. And you look at this series, yes, we all know what Rodon, miserable start. I was a little bit higher on it than some. I know Marash was calling me out today. I thought Rodon locking in and being good for the last three innings was important to keep the bullpen fresh for a game where Carrasco starts. But you look at Will Warren, who got deeper into the game, and you could argue outpitched Corbin Burnes. And then you look at Carrasco in this game, who gives you 5 1/3 of three-run baseball. And you say to yourself, what are you actually missing in this rotation? Because, like, if he can continue to give you good starts, it's like stealing games. Like, Merrill Kelly is not one of the great pitchers in baseball, but he's better than Cookie Carrasco. And on days where you're going to win some games just by the offense scoring runs, and you're going it speaks to the importance of a rotation over the course of the long haul of the season. In the postseason, there's no doubt. You want Luis Gil in there with his dynamic stuff as opposed to Cookie Carrasco, who you hope can fool him. But over the course of 162, over the course of the first half of the season, every start like this you get from Cookie, every start like this you get from Will Warren, every start you get from your fifth guy or your pop-up starter or your, you know, emergency starter, where they give you enough like this, 5 1/3, get a victory for his first start as a New York Yankee. Like, these are big starts. Those are big wins. And the difference between 3-3 and 4-2 after the first six of a homestand, you could say, hey, lost the series, but ultimately had a winning homestand, took four of six, sweep the Brewers, managed to not get swept and score a bunch of runs. And if it wasn't for a blown bullpen game in game one, they're good enough to take two of these games against this Arizona team that is very good. Like, there's no doubt. This team is really talented. You look at how good this lineup is, and then the top of the rotation with Burnes and Gallen. I mean, that's as good a 1-2 punch as there is in baseball, arguably. But to have Cookie Carrasco give you those type of starts, again, you just click them off. That's what you're waiting for. Because the pitching with this team is going to get healthier. Right now, it's not. And over the course of these three games, they didn't have their closer either. And that's why you get, you know, Yarbrough pitching with a 6-run lead. People are actually mad at Aaron Boone for pitching Yarbrough with a 6-run lead and not taking him out before he gave up any runs. Like, you all knew Perdomo was going to hit a grand slam. We'll get to it, but it bothers the hell out of me that we go nuts about Aaron Boone and every single decision he makes. You bring in a guy with a 6-run lead, he walks the 8-9 hitter, and it's the manager's fault with a 6-run lead. Every manager in baseball brings in their worst reliever with a 6-run lead. Every one of them. And even after he gives up the grand slam, you still got a 2-run lead. That's why you bring in Yarbrough. You're hoping to get through without needing your guys. You've still got 6 games in a row to play. But every game that you tick off where you have a win from Warren, you have a win from Carrasco, you get through with a bullpen that is still missing 3 or 4 guys. This pitching staff is going to get healthier. And if the offense, which is not going to be like this all year, we understand that. Volpe's not going to, you know, Volpe last night got his first non-home run base hit. Like, Volpe's not going to hit 35, 40 home runs. Jazz has a chance to do that, I suppose. But this offensive explosion early on in the year is not going to last all year. And we've seen this team prior years build up early leads and be able to coast on it. And what I would say is now this year, I'm hoping the bullpen gets a lot. Jonathan Loaisiga is still looking to make his appearance this year. And we know what he can be at the back end of a bullpen. We've seen it. You're still waiting for Hamilton. You're still waiting for Loaisiga. You're still waiting for Cousins. And right now, you look, and people are mad about Leiter. Leiter's the third best arm in this bullpen right now. And they've gotten away with it. And they're 4-2 in their first 6. And right now, it just feels like this offense has a chance. And again, I don't care about records. It's 22 home runs in the first 6 games. I get it. It's been amazing. And watching it, it just feels deeper. It feels more athletic. I feel like I've already seen guys go first to third more than we've seen in previous years. We've got some stolen bases last night. The speed Dominguez brings, what they've gotten out of the leadoff hitter here, what they've gotten out of the cleanup hitter behind Aaron Judge. Like, right now, this lineup, top to bottom, feels a hell of a lot deeper than it's felt in a long time. And if playing Grisham more is going to get him more productive, with Dominguez kind of finding himself as a rookie here, you can be able to mix in Grisham, and he's been really good. Double and a home run in this game. You know how good defensively he is? Like, I know people scream, oh, there's no bench. There's no bench. Pablo Reyes. Right now, they have a good story, and a guy who laced a double down the line is your backup catcher. Grisham's your fourth outfielder, who looks pretty damn good, and Met fans can remind you how good he was in the postseason in 2022. And overall, the team feels a little bit more complete than what people want to give it credit for. Yes, they need a right-handed bat. Yes, they need another, you know, they could use another starting pitcher. As long as Carrasco's pitching like this, that feels like a less of a need. And the bullpen has arms that are coming back. So right now, it's only 6 games, but the New York Yankees feel a little bit more complete. The New York Yankees, it's easy to forget this now because they were in the World Series, but you go back to this team last year, and you look at who was hitting cleanup for them most of the year. You look at the bottom of the order. Even while they were scoring runs because they had Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in the middle of that lineup back-to-back, like, you know, Ruth and Gehrig and Mantle and Maris. But you look at this lineup right now, a full year of Jazz playing the way he's playing. Ben Rice, and we'll get into Stanton because he had some pregame comments that we want to get into. But honestly, Ben Rice is going to make a difficult question when Stanton comes back, because the way he's swinging it right now and what he provides helps this team a lot, especially a left-handed hitter against right-handed pitching, a guy who doesn't, you know, we all know that Stanton, as great as he is in the postseason, goes through these long lapses of not having his swing. Like, there's a lot here. We heard today that we're a month away. This is how good it is. This is a nice little test of how good it feels as an offensive lineup for the New York Yankees. In prior years, out of necessity, we have seen DJ LeMahieu. They have tried to force DJ LeMahieu into the lineup. They've done everything they can to play DJ LeMahieu because they have no option, and they were hoping DJ LeMahieu could find it and be a productive player for them because they didn't have other options. Now, DJ LeMahieu is probably healthy, and what are they saying? I think he's going to need a full month. Let's make sure he's got a full spring buildup. You know why? Because they have no use for him. None. In previous years, it was like, try and get DJ back. Hopefully his foot feels good. Oh, what a disappointing injury in spring training. We need him. We desperately need him. As soon as he comes back, he's playing. Now it's like, yeah, take your time. This Yankee lineup feels a little bit different, and it's not just pie in the sky. And yeah, I know they've scored a ton of runs. And I wouldn't say it's feast or famine because it's been mostly feast. Even the game you want to call famine, the first game of the series, they score 5 runs against Corbin Burnes. This offense has had 1 bad game in the first 6 and have hit more home runs in 6 games than any team in history. Cookie Carrasco makes a good start. Will Warren makes a good start. We got Weaver looking good last night. There's a lot going right in Yankee land 6 games into the year. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the manager and the bullpen decisions and how I mean, it just never ends. If anybody gives up a hit or gives up a run, Aaron Boone's an idiot. He doesn't get any credit for how he constructed a lineup that all of you called punt before the game. It's just, I don't know why it annoys the hell out of me. And I don't even think Aaron Boone is the greatest manager in the world, but we blame him for everything. And it becomes obnoxious and tiresome. You bring in a guy with a 6-run lead and he can't get an out, and it's the manager's fault. It never ends. We'll get to that. We'll get to the Giants and the misinformation that the New York Giants are handing out. And we know exactly what the New York Giants are going to do in the draft. We know. Don't let them fool you with their tweets and all the conversations coming out from the talking heads in the NFL. I know exactly what the New York Giants are going to do. 888-808-1019. And then, of course, opening day. New York Yankees, McGill on the mound against Gausman and the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll have a lot of fun with that as well. As baseball is back, we are in full swing. The Yankees are 4-2. The Mets are 3-3, getting ready to open up their season live in front of all of you great fans. You big brother, little brother fans. And we have to get to that as well because there was a chant at the stadium last night that people aren't too happy about. Who's the big brother? Who's the little brother when it comes to the fan base? We'll answer it live here on my show tonight. We'll put an end to the debate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take WFAN to church, just like your dad did. Download the free Odyssey app today and listen to The Fan.
All right, 227, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019 on opening day. I wish I found some better songs. Listen, no one's ever heard. I'm a Yankee fan, we all know that. Opening day is special. Opening day is special for any fan base. I am looking forward to watching the first game live from Citi Field. It is a important tradition. Baseball is my favorite sport. I love it. I'm looking forward to it. Met fans should be excited about it. They obviously have an incredible team this year. Off to a little bit of a slow start offensively, but I fully expect them to turn it around. McGill, I want to see McGill put together another good start. This starting rotation has really impressed me. I talked about it a little bit last night. Even Clay Holmes, who hasn't been great, right? He hasn't been great, but he's in the middle of a very difficult transition, and I feel like he's done a really good job with it. He bounced back. We've seen as Yankee fans him falter after defensive mishaps and stuff, and he had two. He had a fly ball that absolutely should have been an out. He had a misplay throwing the ball home from Vientos, and then he bounced back and got two straight strikeouts. Like, those are the things, those are the subtle things you're looking for. It's five or six games in. Right, you're not expecting Clay Holmes to suddenly become an ace. You're looking for maturation. You're looking for him to figure it out. You're looking for him when to throw that. You're looking for him to get big outs with a changeup in a big spot. You're looking for him to overcome obstacles. You're looking for him to bounce back after a bad inning, go out there and give you a 1-2-3. Like, those are the subtle things you're still looking for from Clay Holmes, and I think you've seen a lot of them. So we're getting ready for opening day. We'll get more into the Mets in a little bit, and Pete Alonso and the rest of it is Pete Alonso. Should get an enormous ovation after being, without question, the most important offensive player with the two biggest hits of the season so far. So much talk around him and not being clutch. Same thing with Judge, fighting with people constantly. Judge is the best hitter in baseball until October. I know he's going to have to live with that until he proves otherwise, but this guy is the best player in baseball. It's really not close. Like, when you look at it, you can give me anything you want, right? Like, if you don't want to call Judge the best hitter in baseball because of his postseason, then be prepared to call a lot of people worse than you think, right? And it's the end of the conversation if Willie Mays is the greatest ever. Like, that's it. It's over. If it's about the postseason, Willie Mays is an under 700 OPS, a 248 hitter in the postseason. So if you're one of those people who think Willie Mays is one of the greatest players to ever live, forget about it. He's not. He's just not. David Eckstein is far better. David Eckstein's a better player than Willie Mays. Check out their postseason numbers. Just saying. That feisty David Eckstein. Aaron Judge is the best hitter in the world, and it's not close, and he's having an incredible start to the year, and it really makes you wonder where this season can go. As long as he stays healthy, he is going to have another MVP season. I don't care. You could talk about Bobby Witt Jr. You can talk about whoever you want to talk about. If Aaron Judge plays 150 games or more, Aaron Judge will be the MVP of the American League. That's it. He will be. As long as he plays, he will win the MVP because he is the greatest player. Mikey in the Bronx. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, what's up? This is Mikey actually calling from Fairfield.
Okay,
what's up? I want to talk about the Yankees.
Yes.
I want to talk about their current lineup, their start to the season. I mean, the season starts off, they're hitting the ball left and right. It's warm out. But then you get to the homestand versus the D-backs. A little bit of rain, and they kind of forget how to hit. I mean, it's going to be a high of 50 tomorrow, a low of 43, a little bit of rain. who's going to tell Volpe this isn't sunny Italy? He's got to stop hitting so many home runs or playing some small ball.
Oh, stop.
I know everyone thinks it's a joke now. Play some small ball, lay down the bunt.
No.
Hit a couple singles. And the Yankees, I mean, this is a good team here. But until otherwise, they got to prove they can play in the rain.
Oh, stop.
I mean, I don't know what to do.
Stop. You're being silly, Mikey. You're not being serious right now, are you? In the
rain? How am I being silly?
Because
it's a high of 50 and a low of 43 and a little bit of rain.
I want to hear your thoughts. Okay, here's my thoughts. All right. One, in the game, they had a 2-run lead in the 8th inning against Corbin Burns, one of the best pitchers in baseball. They scored 5 runs that game. I know it's not the 9 or 20 that they scored in other games, but I have a hard time saying 5 runs against Corbin Burns is like a went-to-sleep offensive performance. Because if you average 5 runs a game over the course of the year, you're going to have one of the best offenses in the game.
I have a rebuttal.
Okay.
What do you think about the weather tomorrow? I'll let you finish.
Okay. And then last night, or 2 nights ago now, Zach Gallen is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He was on his game, and the Yankees had a bad approach and were swinging and missing in every one of his breaking balls. But I have a hard time. Yeah, listen, did the ball fly out better when it was warm? Sure. You know, absolutely. It was warmer again last night, a little humid. The ball was carrying a little bit better. But, like, the idea that, you know, it's a bad thing that Volpe's gotten off to 4, you know, home runs here, or that you should be laying bunts down. I mean, maybe they will, and they have more of a team capable of doing those kind of things. But I think I'll take the offensive explosions that we've seen over some small ball, which you're going to have to play the game, no doubt. But, like, right now we're seeing really good offensive performances from Jazz. We're seeing it from Rice. We're seeing it from Volpe. We're seeing it from even Grisham in this game.
Need to hear about Jazz and all that. I got to hear about Volpe. There's too many home runs hit with this kid. But thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And what's the weather again tomorrow? I forgot. A high of what?
You said it twice. I didn't pay attention. First of all, it's going to be in Pittsburgh. Did you check the weather out in Pittsburgh?
High of 50, low of 43.
High of 50, low of 43. Is that something? Are you in like the 50-43 club? Is there like a bunch of kids right now, you know, laughing their ass off because, oh, he said 50-43. That's us. Walking the streets of Fairfield. I don't know what that call was about, but that's okay. I understand. If your point is they can't rely on being the greatest home run hitting team of all time, yeah, I agree. That's not going to happen. I doubt very much that this Yankee team is going to hit more home runs than any team in the history of baseball. They might hit more home runs than we all thought, and clearly that's the way it's trending with the torpedo bats and all the cheating they're doing. But, you are going to have to rely, and even in the postseason, please don't tell me, like, the home runs don't play in the postseason. They absolutely play in the postseason. That's one of the more things that I hate the most. You're not going to hit home runs in the postseason. You got to put okay. So up against a great pitcher, what's more likely? 6 or 7 singles in a row or a walk, a base hit, and a home run? Like, you need home runs in the postseason. The Yankees showed it to you. The Dodgers showed it to you. You need home runs in the postseason. So, yeah, they're going to have to find different ways to score, but I don't know if you've been paying attention. They have. They've hit a ton of home runs, yes. How many sacrifice flies does Bellinger have? Last night, Judge with an RBI single, a couple of stolen bases. Like, they have. They've scored on RBI groundouts. They have. They've gone first to third better than they have at any point this year, last year. Like, they look fat. They're faster. They're younger. That's why I laughed when I got so much, this geriatric team. And, you want Nolan Arenado to add another old player to this lineup? Where are the old people everyone keeps talking about? I feel like I should be turning on the Yankees and watching the Golden Girls, and yet, like, I watch them and they're running all over the place. Who's old? Nobody's old. The Yankees are young and athletic. Oh, you want Nolan Arenado? Bring in another, you know, maybe if this was 2017, you'd have a good team. Why? Why? Because Bellinger won an MVP in 19? He's 30. Why? Because Goldschmidt's 37? That's it. Everybody else is young and athletic. Even Judge, I know he's older. He's 33. He stole a base, and he can run pretty damn well, and he's a Gold Glove caliber right fielder to go along with being the best offensive player in the game. I don't get it. But they need that small ball. Mike in Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for making it, buddy. How are you?
I just want to say I love your approach on everything you do.
Thank you.
You know, you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Mets fan. I'm 61 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand the big fight between the Yankee and Mets fans all the time.
I don't get it either, Mike. You're 100% right. We are not at
odds.
We're
not in the same division.
Not in the same division. The games they play against each other could not be more meaningless. Like, regular season games are all meaningful, but like the Yankees play 13 or 14 other teams that are more important every year than the New York Mets games.
Exactly. And so do the Mets.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's true. I don't get it.
We're going to play each other 6 games this year.
I don't get it,
man.
That's
the only time we need to worry about each other.
I'm totally with you.
You know what? I know I might be I'm probably in the minority, but I don't care. I hope you guys do well, except when you play the Mets.
That's exactly
how I feel, Mike. Every Mets fan and every Yankee fan can't be like that.
I don't know why we all can't just get along. I don't know, Mike. And I have to admit, I waffle with my feelings towards how we treat each other as Met and Yankee fans. Sometimes I think it's fun. Sometimes I think it's part, like it's the good natured part of the game, and it's fun to have that dynamic with your friends and your buddies. I remember being in high school during the Subway Series in 2000, and it was fun. Like, you know, I mean, obviously I had more fun, and I remember it as such. And maybe Met fans don't have that same memory. If I call up Donald Capriglione, shout out to Donald. If I call up Donald Capriglione and ask him how he felt about the 2000 World Series when we were in high school together, maybe he doesn't have the same memories I do. I remember it being fun and good-natured. And so I waffle with, this is so stupid that we yell at each other. And then I also go with, it's kind of fun. It's good. But, like, I don't understand it. I don't. And, yeah, so what he's talking about, I think, at least, is last night during a Jazz Chisholm at bat, late in the game, 2 runs, I was at the ballpark and didn't hear it. I got to be totally honest with you. So I don't know how loud it was. It definitely, I've seen the highlights now on social media. You could hear it. You could make it out clear as day. I was in the ballpark and I didn't notice it. I was up in the press box and I didn't notice it. But there's no doubt it happened. So during the game, I guess it must have been, let me look at my box score here. When did Jazz get up? In the 8th inning. So Jazz is up in the 8th inning of a 9-7 game, and a lot of Yankee fans start chanting, F Juan Soto. And it's just stupid. And they're not alone. And I know the Tommy Lugauers of the world and some other Met fans want to talk about how the Yankee fans are obsessed with the Mets. It works both ways. And I know the Met fan will acknowledge it's always been that way from the Met fan, but now they're changing that dynamic. They're not. Because I was watching a game, and I know Fliegelman, I believe, was in the building and tweeted it out himself. During a game in Miami, there was a contingent of Met fans chanting, Yankees suck, in the middle of the game versus the Marlins. And Flieg said this to me a couple days ago, last week or something, and we've been talking about it. I agree. Right now, both fan bases, if we're trying to find a big brother, little brother, I would tell you as a Yankee fan, and I'll admit my bias, I suppose, in that department, but, I mean, they are the Yankees, and they've been wildly more successful than the Mets. I would tell you big brother on the field, takes more than signing away Juan Soto and having a season. And having a good offseason. It just does. You have to win. And even the last couple years where the Mets were really good, the Yankees still had the better year and went further. Like, the Mets season was unbelievably fun last year. It was great. The Yankees won more games and went to the World Series. You want to tell me we can get into this stupid conversation about how many games they won against the Dodgers and all that crap? The Yankees were playing the last game. The Mets weren't. The Mets were watching the Yankees play the World Series from home. Say whatever you want. That's just a fact. So for me, it's going to take more than just signing Juan Soto to be big brother on the field. Having said that, if we're going to talk about fan bases, we have 2 little brothers. There is no big brother in the fan base. We both act like petulant children. There is no reason that any Yankee fan during a game against the Arizona Diamondbacks where they have turned a 6-run lead into a 2-run lead in the 8th inning should have Juan Soto, the New York Mets, or anyone other than the players playing on the field in that moment on their minds is mind-boggling to me. And that chant is so ridiculous and belittles you as a Yankee fan. I'm sorry, it does. If you're going to, first of all, I think F anybody, it's stupid. All right, I got to be honest with you. It's stupid. Now, when they play the Mets, you want to boo the hell out of Juan Soto? I'm not going to, but I would never tell you not to do what you want to do. He's there. He's the enemy for that given day. He's trying to beat the Yankees. Boo him if you will. I have no problem with that. No one should. But when the Mets aren't playing the Yankees, why? And again, to take it from the great Mike Francesa, when you're number one, you don't care about number two. And that's where we're getting this little brother, big brother. Oh, we're still on your mind. Oh, we're still on your mind. We're still, like, you know, living in your head rent-free and all this crap. And it goes both ways. Because I can't tell you how many Met fans consistently hit me up on social media trying to take, you know, great joy in what went on in the game last night. Like, they hit me up, oh my God, this bullpen, oh my God, Boone's a manager. And I look at it, and it's like their picture is them, like, at Citi Field with, like, them and their friends all wearing Met jerseys. I'm like, why the hell do you care? And they're chanting live from Miami, the Yankees suck. The Met fans would leave Citi Field after every game chanting Yankees suck. Both fans are acting like little brother. Both. Whether it's the Met fan dying, Big Brother doesn't have to call himself Big Brother over and over again. Big Brother is just Big Brother. The Met fan is dying to tell them, tell themselves and everyone around them that they are now the Big Brother. When you're desperate for that, you're not the Big Brother. And for Yankee fans who want to laugh and put down the Mets, the idea that in a game that you don't want to get swept at home and blow a 6-run lead after blowing the first game of the series, after having a real fun night, all the offense, everything that's going on, the idea that F. Juan Soto is even on the forefront of your mind to start that chant is pathetic. It's pathetic. There's no other way to put it. I'm sorry, that's how I feel. Right now, on the field, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm biased. I don't think it's close yet. The Mets are going to have to do a hell of a lot more than sign Juan Soto and tell me they have a pitching lab before I give them the nod of Big Brother in this city on the field. The fan bases are, we have two little brothers. We have a Met fan dying to call themselves Big Brother, and we have a Yankee fan who is terrified that he might be little brother. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid, but yet it's so much fun. So we'll have some fun with it. We'll go back and forth. And listen, I'm a talk show host. So if you expect me to play it right down the line one way or the other, I gave you my honest opinion. Are there going to be days where I poke and prod and have a little fun and lean into it? Sure, it's what we do here. I'm not above that. I'll have a little fun with it, particularly when they play the Mets. And it's all in good fun, but like, yeah, this idea of big brother, little brother, it's stupid. We're not brothers. We share the city, that's it. And right now, both teams are really good. And it's opening day for the Mets, and the Yankees head to Pittsburgh, winning 4 of the first 6, feeling pretty damn good about the team. At least I am. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Oh, Chris. You know what? The Mets need to worry about the Phillies, Braves, and the Dodgers.
Yep.
That's who the Met fans have to worry about. If they're serious baseball people, that's what you're into. And you know what? You got the fringe. Okay, you got these fringe people. I mean, I didn't hear any of it. I don't look at so. And what happens if you don't look at social media, or you just don't give a damn, or you don't want to enhance Zucker Schnook's, you know, economic viability any further? What if you take that stance? Okay, or that guy who owns that. I'm not going to say his name. All right, I'm not going to do anything to enhance them by paying attention to this. So if you're not engaged in that, then you're kind of removed from this whole thing. That's not what that was just something that came up. Here's what I want.
Well, I mean, listen, watching the game on TV, though, to be fair, it wasn't a social media creation. Watching the game on TV, I have to admit, again, I'm just being honest. I'm not saying they didn't say it, because clearly they did. I watched the highlights of the game and saw the clips. They were they were chanting at least a decent enough of a portion of the Yankee crowd so that it could be heard on the television broadcast. We're chanting F Juan Soto. I did not hear it live at the game. I didn't, but it happened.
Fair, you know, and that, you know, I guess when you pay that much money for tickets. Anyway, here's something. You know what's good about the weather report in Pittsburgh?
What's that?
You know what's good? Both teams got to play in it. Okay,
yeah.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's number one. And now I want to get to all the Cashman haters. Okay?
Yes.
I want to get to all the Cashman haters. All right. Brian Cashman and his scouts and the Yankees recognized something in Aaron Judge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They waited until he graduated from college, okay? They waited, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they developed him. And you want to talk about a generational talent, okay? There's a generational talent, all right?
Yeah.
And he puts it up every day. And you know what? There are going to be, and I'm sure, somewhere along the line, his timing's going to be, you know, get a little bit off.
Yeah, he's not going to he's not going to hit 5 home runs every 6 games, obviously, yeah.
But the idea that no other player since 1869, they've been professional baseball has been it's been a professional endeavor since 1869. And no guy's ever had 5 homers and 15 RBIs in the first 5 games.
Yeah.
Except for one guy.
Yeah.
Not Joe D. Not Babe Ruth,
right.
Not Big Head Barry, all right? None of those guys, all right? Not even Lou Gehrig. And you know what? We were looking at some Yankees. You know what? I knew some old-timers, and they appreciated the late 90 teams. Go look at the 36-38. Go look at the stats.
Yeah.
Go look at what those guys were doing in a 154-155-game season, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the numbers are stunning.
No.
All right. So it's like Gehrig, Ruth, Jimmy Fox. I mean, I can run down.
Judge is getting to the point where he's as good as any of them.
He is in the pantheon of the greatest players who have ever played the game.
Steve, you're 100% right, and thank you for the call. He's getting there. That's how good he is. I mean, right now, you look at his numbers, he's putting up Barry Bonds kind of numbers. I never thought we'd see it, and I don't want to say he's completely there yet with the, you know, being only seeing one strike per game, but like right now, his OPS over the last 3 years is Barry Bonds in the prime of, well, you know, in 01 to 03, Barry Bonds. Like, he is, and, you know, to be, and again, I know I'm the Brian Cashman shill. Let's give two talking points here. One, the Yankees haven't done well enough developing young talent. That's a fact. I like Brian Cashman. I'll defend Brian Cashman, but that's a fact, right? The baby bombers, other than Judge, kind of all failed. I mean, Gleyber Torres is a major league player and a pretty solid one, not a great one. One that I'm kind of happy is no, I shouldn't say happy. I'm okay with him not being a Yankee anymore. Gary Sanchez for a time was the biggest power hitting catcher in the game and was a 2-time All-Star. But ultimately they kind of failed. They haven't really developed any young starting pitching just yet. I mean, well, just yet. In a long time. They've had to go out and do it in free agent. They've done a really great job with no names in the bullpen becoming really good relievers and doing some different things there and finding guys like Cortez and things like that. But there's no doubt. But so they need to do a better job of that, without question. But I do think when people say that, and people say, well, it's only Robinson, Cano, and Aaron Judge. One, I think it's a little bit more than that, because I just gave you some names of players who were legitimately good and then flamed out and never met full potential. But you're talking about, like, Robinson Cano, up until the steroids, and I guess now we'll never know, you know, how good or how long he was doing it without steroids. I mean, he was on his way to being the best offensive second baseman in the history of the game. That's what Robinson Cano was becoming. With the Yankees, the last 3 years he was with the Yankees, you're talking about the best offensive second baseman to ever play the game. And then with Judge, like, again, show me the other teams who are developing a lot more young talent, because it's not the Dodgers, right? Oh, the Dodgers do this great. Who have the Dodgers developed? Who's the great player that's homegrown from the Dodgers? Kershaw? Like, offensively, he's not there. That team is all free agents and trades. What other, I mean, and so when we say, oh, they only develop Judge, that's it. Judge is the greatest player in the game. They developed the best hitter of his generation. They developed someone who is rapidly approaching the pantheon of some of the greatest hitters to ever live. That's a pretty good job. I mean, the Angels and Mike Trout? And we're getting to the point where he's better than Mike Trout was in his prime. Judge is the better hitter now. He's not as dynamic an outfielder. I mean, you know, Trout was a center fielder and was faster and could do some different things. But I mean, we're at the point where Judge's last 3 years are better than any 3 years that Mike Trout put together. This is the best hitter of the last 20 years. That's a pretty good development. To get that guy, it's not easy. There's only one of them. He's it. So while I agree the New York Yankees definitely need to do a better job in developing young talent, there's no doubt they do. Especially pitching. But they have developed one of the greatest players to ever live. I mean, they should get there should be context to that point a little bit more than, well, it's only Judge. Yes, it's only Judge. Right? There's some others, we'll see. Now they changed the way they teach hitting back in 2019. 2019, they brought in a different director. He's actually Lawson, the hitting coach they ended up firing. But he came in before he was the hitting coach, became the hitting development guy throughout the minor leagues. And they've done a pretty good job of winning a lot of games and having pretty good offenses in the minor leagues. And now we're getting our first glimpses of what the new Yankee way is producing. And Volpe, Wells, Dominguez are going to be the beginnings of those first real, like, even Judge isn't that. Gleyber Torres wasn't that. Sanchez wasn't that. Bird wasn't that. Like, this is the new crop. The new crop right now that we're seeing live in front of us every single day is Wells, Dominguez, Volpe. So we'll see how they develop this young talent, but that makes up three of the nine guys in the starting lineup, plus Judge. And we'll see. I'm forgetting Ben Rice. I mean, that's four guys out of the nine, and I'm not including Judge. Four guys out of their everyday nine hitters who've had this incredible start are homegrown Yankee talent. So let's see. Maybe they are starting to do a better job. Let's give them a second. But when we do say, oh, well, it's only Judge. Yes, that's true. It's a fair argument. The Yankees have not done a good enough job developing young talent. Brian Cashman has not done a good enough job developing homegrown players. There's no argument. But when you do say, well, it's only Judge, yeah, it's only the greatest hitter of the last 20 years. It's only Barry Bonds in his prime. I mean, it's only the best hitter in baseball. Two-time MVP, should be three. And as long as he stays healthy this year, it's going to be a three-time MVP. He's going to win it again if he stays healthy. There's no doubt in my mind, because he's the best player. 888-808-1019. Quick break. I see you guys on hold. Quick break. Update. Come right back with your calls. We'll get into a little bit of what the Giants are doing, the misinformation. What are they doing with the draft? What kind of player is Hunter? In my mind, because there's been a lot of talk now because of what Brian Daboll said the other day. So we'll get into some Giants football and what they're doing with the draft. Mainly baseball as we get ready for Met opening day. The Yankees with another offensive explosion last night in the Bronx. And I'll take on anyone who wants to fight with me. Yeah, big whoop. Want to fight about it? I will fight you on Aaron Boone, and I will fight you on Aaron Judge. We'll have a couple of bouts about Aaron's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.